Today we're looking at the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit to start the work of the Church. And that's one of the first things to notice. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God's very presence into human beings so that, working in the fruit of that presence, they can form a communion of human beings which reflects the very nature of God. Well, that, in principle, is what the Church should be, and that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. But we have to admit that the Church is not always filled with the Spirit. And in fact, in some churches, the Spirit isn't even much talked about. People have some funny ideas about the Holy Spirit. Some Christians, particularly those who like a rather rational Christianity, consider the Spirit dangerous because it's too emotional, too happy-clappy, not serious enough for grown-up people. So let's look at how the Holy Spirit is described in Scripture rather than what some people seem to think the Holy Spirit is. And the reading from Acts shows us that up until Pentecost, the faithful disciples were gathered together to pray for God. They were in communion already, in some way, with each other, in that upper room where they communed with a single mind to love God. They were also joined by not only Mary, the mother of Jesus, but the other women and several unnamed men. So the picture of the arrival of the Holy Spirit is of an upper room crowded with a diverse group of people. And when the Holy Spirit came to fill each one of them with her love and her power. Many think of the coming of the Holy Spirit as an outburst of religious fervour, with the speaking in the babble of tongues, which is also called glossolalia. But it's actually not quite what was happening in the book of Acts. Rather, the disciples didn't speak in unknown tongues, but in languages that others could understand. And that's significant. All those different nationalities heard the disciples speaking to them in ways they could understand. Just think about how you feel when you have been really understood. It's a good feeling. I've been listened to. That's a real conversation. It's holy listening to another when the other person thinks, I have been heard, I have been valued. And when people feel valued and heard, things change. They open up. They tell the listener things they wouldn't normally talk about. There's a closeness. There's a communion. Things have changed materially between the listener and the other person. And so the disciples seem to have been listening because they could be understood by the other. They didn't necessarily go out and tell other people what they should do, that they should all stop speaking in their own languages and start speaking Aramaic. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with violence because the Holy Spirit is the love that listens to another. But there have been times and places where the Church has acted in violence and power, dominating other cultures, forcing changes on people of their language and spirituality. The colonial mentality shut down the Holy Spirit. The Spirit cannot flourish where there is force. The Spirit gives gifts to everyone and works with the individual people as they are. They're not the same gifts. He values variety, diversity, difference. The Spirit works in one way with one person, in another with another. No one size fits all. He takes our individual human talents, our human gifts, our human capacities, and upgrades these human attributes so that we can be equipped to do something extraordinary for God. And that something is building community. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the will of God is that we will all come to union in Him and in one another. Our human senses of ambition, competition, measuring people against each other, rapidly misinterprets the gifts of the Spirit as signs of certain particular individuals' elevated status. Ooh, look at her. She can heal people. Ooh, look at him. He prays in tongues. Wow. But that is actually attributing the power to a person, not to God. And it's a way of making everyone else feel less worthy and less godly. And things that break down communion and harmony between people are not of the Spirit. Now, the power of the Holy Spirit certainly is extraordinary. Literally, it takes the ordinary and makes us extraordinary. But not for ourselves and not so that we look better than others. The only way we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit is when we, like the disciples, are praying that God's will for the harmony of the common good is being done. Then the Holy Spirit comes to bring new life, to enable us to see past our blindnesses, to take us out of the rut of, oh, nothing can change, it's always been like this, it always will. And we become open to being part of building a new relationship from something that is broken, a new system out of an old and decaying one. There are certainly fears around the Anglican Church that the Church is dead or dying. And there are lots of groans that we can't do anything, we don't have any young people. But the Church has seen lots of flourishing of the Holy Spirit over the centuries. In the 19th and 20th century, there was the rich liturgy of the Anglo-Catholic movement, which also developed a huge social justice program in the East End of London, helping the poorest of the poor. Movements began like Lifeline, 19th century mission to seafarers, coming of Anglicans' desire to build the common good. We think of Mary Sumner, and the Mothers' Union, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, working to break down the barriers that were put up, divisions between people in apartheid South Africa. There's the Northern Ireland Peace Movement, which was led by young mothers devastated by the tragic deaths and murders of their family members. They came together to pray for the healing of the wounds of division between Catholics and Protestants, and they were instrumental in helping to bring about the end of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Ordinary housewives did extraordinary things by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit works to make common good out of division, and it needs us to put aside some of our own prejudices in order for her to work. Our prejudices and blindnesses are what stop the work of the Spirit. In today's Gospel, we see some of this blindness. The Pharisees could not see that Jesus was the Son of God. They couldn't see he was the Messiah. They couldn't even see that he was doing good works. They called him a sinner. They couldn't see the life of the Spirit at work in him because they believed that no Messiah could come from Galilee. That's blindness. They had a view of who God was, and God had to fit into that box. There are similar instances in places where there's social breakdown, in apartheid South Africa, fighting in Northern Ireland. People who think the other side are the problem. They won't change, so I can't. It's a blindness that stops the Spirit working. But sometimes there are people like the disciples, or like the women in the peace movement in Northern Ireland, who listen to the Spirit, pray for the gifts of courage to speak up, patience to bear the wrongness, grace to speak into hate and rejection, love to try to understand the other, and forgiveness to put God first ahead of their own pain. And so they could speak in a language that the other could understand. They could listen without judgment to the other viewpoint and build bridges. Like the early disciples who founded the church, they spoke in languages that others could understand. And those who were understood, felt heard, and came to new life, to being able to change positions rather than retreating into their defensive attitudes of hard-heartedness and self-righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the love of the Father and the Son, and therefore it is life-giving love. It brings life. As Jesus says, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Streams of living waters will flow through the church when the individual members of the church open their hearts to healing the divisions in the common good around them. It might start with our own relationships being healed and flows out through attitudes to others in the church, in the workplace, in the town, in the nation. And it may also be that we need the Holy Spirit to let the living water of life flow through us. Some are tired and jaded, beaten down by life and difficulties, frustrated by what seems a never-ending stream of things going wrong. Nothing can change. Life is like this. Well, things can change, and life doesn't have to be like this. In fact, that's what Jesus came to say. He was beaten. He was killed. But that is not the end of the story. He has come to bring us to fullness of life. And that fullness cannot be achieved by ourselves, for ourselves. So what seems a concrete block in our lives and not able to be removed can be changed. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the spiritual graces to be able to begin a new life. How can you glorify God in the reality of your own life? There are no doubt difficulties, but there are ways to glorify God in the reality of those circumstances. Jesus glorified God not by being killed, that's not the point of the cross, but by his attitude of grace and forgiveness to those who wanted him dead. We glorify God by showing forth God's nature of forgiving love in the middle of awful circumstances. The men and women in North Ireland's peace movement were surrounded by long-entrenched hatred of them, by a stubborn and hard-hearted refusal to accept any change. They glorified God when they met these circumstances with grace, with forgiveness, even though the forgiveness was not always accepted, with desire to bring common good, and that desire for common good was stronger than their own pain and hurt. At Pentecost, we are reminded, like we are at Ascension, that God loves us so much he not only took on our painful and hurting physical bodies, but he continues to breathe into us his very spirit, which binds us to him. And it is a feast of ultimate hope, because with the Spirit, every change is possible. Nothing bad needs stay the same. In an ever-changing world of coronavirus, it's worth thinking about how much am I letting the Holy Spirit walk in me, work in my life. Am I bringing forth rivers of living waters from my heart? And if not, why not? Because it is glorious, and that is what God is offering us. If we but recognize our blindnesses and open those hearts to the Holy Spirit, let him breathe on you. And may you be richly blessed this week by the grace of that Spirit, whom I pray you will see at work in others, and most especially in yourself. Amen.